Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Excellent. We're all here, fully present. Welcome back, Matt. Congratulations on the new baby.
Thanks.
Maton Yaakov. Very nice. This is the koan, case number 16, from the Mumang Khan, the bell sound and the priest's robe. Unman said, "Look, this world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your priest's robe at the sound of the bell?" That's the koan. Unman said, "Look, this world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your priest's robe at the sound of the bell?" Originally, these koans were directed towards the monastics. So this kind of question would make perfect sense to a monk away on retreat or perhaps living in the monastery. And in Zen monasteries, everything that is done to the sound of the bell. Here we have a very, very modified structure. But at the same time, we use the bells, three bells to start something, two to end it. We hear the bell when Dokusan, the view, is finished. Certain ceremonies that we do, we'll use the bell. And when we're away on retreat at Sesshin, the bell is used to wake us up in the morning. And we can spend an entire month in silence and never have to question what's next, because there's a bell to tell you when to wake up, when to be in the zendo, when to have your breakfast or your lunch, when to go to bed. Most of you probably have an alarm clock to wake you up in the mornings. Probably not one of those old-fashioned ding 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 ding. Push it at the top down to stop it. Your iPhone, whatever it is, to wake you up in the morning. And if you're one of those people that gets up at the first bell, out of bed, take care of everything, get yourself to work. So this question about why do you put on your robe? You can look at this in a couple of ways. There's no question to why. I just do it. I'm out working in the field, or I'm out working in the kitchen, I hear the sound of the bell. There's no why to it. It's just move to the next thing. Take off my work clothes, put on my robes, and go to the zendo. Kind of the same thing when we wake up in the morning. You know, why do we get dressed? We just do it. We don't have the same constraints in our regular life here as in the monastery or when we're on retreat. We have structure. We do have certain constraints. We come here on Sunday morning, or Monday, or Wednesday, or half day sits. And we're expected to be here at a certain time to hear the sound of the han, to be in the zendo before the jikido sits and strikes the bell. So again, it's all about structure. And when we hear the bell in the morning, we get up and go to work, and hopefully we get a salary, and you know, so we do have some kind of structure. If you think about it, wearing the robes, the full priest robes, like in China, Japan, or wherever, monks are in their full vestments, Catholics, Christians, priests. It's a heavy responsibility to put on the robe. This world is vast and wide. It's almost like saying, this robe is vast and wide. There's another koan that says, it's not a koan actually, it's a line from a poem by Ryokan, I think. Oh, that my robes were wide enough to gather up all the suffering in the world. I'm paraphrasing. Basically, it's how if my robes were vast and wide enough to protect everyone, to gather everyone up. So what this koan, or partly what this koan is saying, when we put on the robe without question, we have this responsibility to take care of the Dharma, to take care of the Sangha and the community. It's our job, Koshin and Chodo, to take care of this center. To take care as best we can of the community, of the Sangha. As best we can. Not always perfectly, but we try. So why do we even bother to practice here in the city? People come to Zen and other forms of meditation possibly because they're not feeling right with the world. They're unhappy, depressed. Something's not quite feeling right. Something missing. And meditation actually is like a medicine if we use it as prescribed. Sit every morning for half an hour. Commit to service, if you're able to be of service in the center, in the community. And after a while, we begin to feel better about ourselves. And Perhaps we begin to notice others who may be in pain, who may be suffering. Because it's no longer just about us. When we put on this rakasu, those of you who have taken the lay vows, you also have a responsibility. It's not just about getting a little lobster bib and saying, yeah, I did that. It's committing not only to the vows of Dharma, but to each other, to this place, to the community. And perhaps there's an opening for you to really think about, how do you take care of the world around you? These four vows that we chant after sitting, the Bodhisattva vow, we vow to save all sentient beings in whatever way that is, whatever way that looks like, whether you're a doctor or a social worker, or a priest, teacher. Your responsibility is not just to yourself, it's to others, to all sentient beings. The commitment is difficult for most of us. We all have very busy lives. And yet, can you commit to your practice? It doesn't have to be here. Meditate anywhere. Can you do that? To realize yourself. In doing so, perhaps realizing the suffering of all beings. From newborns, octogenarians, or even 100-year-olds. It's easy to say, well, doesn't really matter. Somebody else will take care of that. I meditate every morning. I go to the Zendo once in a while, or I go every week. You know, just taking care of myself. What's the big deal? It is a big deal. This world is vast and wide. It's not just about you. Your body, your little shell. Your bubble. There's a poem by Nick Flynn, a friend of the Sangha, great poet. And they found this the day before yesterday in his new book. It's called My Feelings. Title is 47 Minutes. I ask a high school class to locate an image in a poem we've just read. Their heads at this moment are bowed to the page. After some back and forth about the rain and the styrofoam cup, a girl raises her hand and asks, "Does it matter?" I smile. It's as if the universe was balanced on those three words. and we've landed in the unanswerable. And I have to admit that no, it does not really matter if the rain is an image, or rain is an idea, or rain is a sound in our heads. But to get through the next 47 minutes, we might have to pretend that it does. To get through this morning of sitting zazen, we might just have to pretend that it does matter. We wake up feeling shitty, much rather be in Central Park this morning or some street there. It doesn't matter if I go to sit today. Pretend that it does. Pretend that waking up in this world is important. Until you can stop pretending and take on this practice fully. Move out beyond the small self. Fully engaged. At the sound of the bell, whatever that sound is that wakes you up. Could be the sirens outside here on 23rd Street. Suddenly wake you up. Not just in your meditation, but wow, there's someone in that ambulance. I wonder what will happen. There's an apartment on fire somewhere. Hope everyone's okay. I ask a high school class to locate an image in a poem we've just read. Their heads at this moment are bowed to the page. After some back and forth about the rain and a styrofoam cup, a girl raises her hand and asks, "Does it matter?" I smile. It's as if the universe was balanced on three words. And we've landed in the unanswerable. And I have to admit that no, it doesn't. Not really matter. If the rain is an image, or rain is an idea, or rain is a sound in our heads. But to get through the next 47 minutes, we might have to pretend